right, let's let this stand tonight. Come on, let's magnify the name of Jesus right now. Would you worship Him? Would you praise Him? Would you magnify Him? Oh, worship the King. Worship the King. We are in His presence to magnify His name. When we seek His face,
oh, His glory fills
this place as we worship the King. As we worship the King.
Worship the King.
Worship the King. Worship the King. We are in His presence to magnify His name. When we seek His face,
I know His glory fills this place.
As we worship the King,
as we worship the King,
as we King, we are in His presence to magnify His name.
When we seek His face,
His glory fills this place as we worship the King. As we worship the King.
Oh, one more time.
King, we are in His presence to magnify His name. When we seek His face, glory fills this place as we worship the King. As we worship. Come on, let's do it right now. Come on, let's worship Him right now. Let the Holy Ghost come in this house.
Hallelujah. Invite Him with your worship. Invite Him with your worship. Hallelujah.
You deserve the glory. The honor,
Lord, we lift.
Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we magnify Your name. You deserve the glory and the honor.
Lord, we lift our hands.
Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we magnify Your name.
For You are great. So great, there is no one else like You. There is no one else like You, for You are great. You do miracles so great, there is no one else like You.
By Your name,
for You
praise Him. Praise Him like there's nobody, nobody like Him, nobody beside Him, nobody before Him. Hallelujah, You're worthy, oh God.
The splendor of the King.
Clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice.
He's worthy to be praised. He's mighty.
He's great. He's wonderful. How excellent is your name, O God. Oh, how mighty is your name, O God. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Come on, would you lift your hands? Begin to praise him right now. Magnify the King of Kings. Come on, let's magnify the Lord of Lords right now. He's always worthy to be praised. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Who's happy to be in church tonight? I'm so thankful for a Wednesday night service. Yeah, you know, as you go through the week, life and work get you down, but you know you got a midweek service to help pick you up, restore, refresh. I'm thankful that I'm in church tonight. Hallelujah. Well, you may be seated as the ushers get ready to receive our Wednesday night tithe and offering.
As you can now see, there's a lot of people missing tonight. But where two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be also, so we can still have church. Amen. But do pray for those that are gone to peak, that they have a good time, that God blesses them with an anointing and with a fire, and that they bring it back and help pass it on to us. Because I know I got to listen to a little of it before church tonight, and it's sounding good. So I'm jealous. I would love to be there. But keep them in your prayers, that they have a good time and that they also come back. Also pray for those that may not be here tonight, either due to sickness or whatnot. It would be good for us to reach out to those that we know that should be here, that aren't here, to let them know that we miss them and that we do wish they were here tonight. I'm going to try to do these announcements from the top of my head. My memory is not good, so we'll see how this goes. So, can I get a little cue? Pray and read your Bible every day. It's very good to do. We can't go forth but by prayer and fasting. So we need to get our daily bread in. So don't forget to pray and read your Bible every day. The greatest position in the church is that of a soul winner. So let's go forth and reach this city. Reach our friends, reach our coworkers, reach those that are at the grocery store. We are here. That is our great commission, is to reach the lost. What does Proverbs 11:30 say? Don't be a fool, win a soul for Jesus. Is there another one? Ha! Okay. Well, I will say this. We are putting in the finishing touches on the church. It's all coming together. It's looking really nice. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. How many are thankful that we have a church building that we're building and we're going to be able to move into? I am so excited. I can't wait for our first service in there. And it's all the more reason for us to make sure that we're faithful in our tithe and offering, as we have this beautiful building that we're going to be moving into and we need to help pay for it. So please be faithful in your tithe and offering and be faithful to church. Let's have revival even while we're still in this building so we can bring it into the next. So with that, let's all stand and let's worship God as the ushers come.
Falling in love with Jesus,
falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done.
Oh, falling in love, falling in love.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done.
Oh, falling in love.
Falling in love
with Jesus.
With Jesus.
Protected.
Oh, in his arms,
never.
Come on, if you believe that, would you lift both your hands in the air and begin to praise Him? Come on, begin to praise Jesus right now. Hallelujah, we worship You. Come on, continue that praise to Him right now. Praise God. Just leave it on next time, brother. Maybe I just turned it off. Hallelujah. Feels good in here tonight. If it doesn't feel good, why don't we try something real quick? Let's create an atmosphere. I'm going to put this microphone down, and we're all just going to clap our hands till we feel something. Come on. That's it right there. Begin to praise Him. Come on, we know the formula. Praise goes up, glory comes down. It's one for one. Let's give Him praise right now. Come on, till you feel better. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise Him. Where two or three are gathered. Come on, it's not about a level of noise, but the Holy Ghost responds to praise. The Spirit of God will fill this house. Come on, He's already doing it right now. Hallelujah. Come on, let's get that atmosphere right. Come on, let's get the atmosphere right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, while you're clapping your hands, why don't you shout unto God with a voice of triumph? Come on, hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God in Jesus' name. Amen. Doesn't that feel good? It feels good to praise Him. Hallelujah. Well, let's open our Bibles tonight to John chapter 3. I want to prepare you tonight before I get started. You're not going to hear anything new tonight. In fact, if in this message you hear something that you have not heard before, you should be a visitor, a first-time guest. Look around. I don't see any of those. If you hear something new tonight that you have never heard before, that is a cause for concern. Because we are going to talk tonight about the new birth salvation message. Some of you may ask, why are we going to talk about that tonight? Everybody in here has been born again, as the scripture hath said. But tonight, we are going to preach the truth. The Bible said that the truth shall make you free. And sometimes we get caught up preaching about your feelings. We get caught up preaching about the things you might be going through. And the Bible is full of scripture that lends to that type of preaching. But let me tell you tonight that this is the only saving message. And it's not just to save you from sin. But if you have depression and you need to be free from depression, you can be born again as you were the first time. And the Holy Ghost will help you with those things. It's not just, I'm going to get ahead of myself and start preaching right now. But the Holy Ghost is not just your ticket to salvation. The Holy Ghost is also the comforter. The Holy Ghost will give you wisdom. The Holy Ghost will give you discernment. The Holy Ghost will give you power to overcome. Yes, it is essential for going to heaven. But oh, we need to fall in love with this truth. Hallelujah. And so with that, we're going to John chapter 3. We are going to start in verse number 1. The Bible says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And tonight, I want to talk about this very simple topic, yet very crucial topic. And that is this, the essentiality of the new birth. And if you need a subtitle on that, it's going to be, Ye Must Be Born Again. And before we begin to preach tonight, before we start this service off, before we start the remainder of this service off, tonight in prayer, it was impressed upon me, why are you preaching this tonight? What is, and I felt like God began to deal with me about this and said, as you are preaching tonight, I want somebody to fall in love with this message. And so tonight, that's what we're going to pray. Before we start, before we get into this, I do not want this to turn into a throwaway service tonight. There is no such thing as a throwaway service. There is no such thing as just moving through a service and going on to another thing. And believe you me, we all, including myself, would love to go get something to eat right now and to call this service done. But before we get started, I want us to pray that specific prayer. God, I want you to help me to fall in love with this message. God, I know this message. Some of us have been raised in this truth since a child, but it's something deeper than that. Come on, let's begin to pray right now. God, I pray in Jesus' name. I pray you would begin to put revelation in my heart today. I don't just want to know it, but I want to have it in my heart. Reveal your truth unto me. Come on, lift your voice right now. Begin to pray this, just that prayer. God, I want to fall in love with your truth, God. Come on, let's pray right now in Jesus' name. Oh, yes, let it burn in your heart. Come on, let it burn in your heart. God, give me a desire. I want to leave this place with a different viewpoint. It's not old hat. It's not the same old, same old. But let this message burn in my spirit so that when I go to see somebody and somebody is walking by, I begin to feel the burden of the salvation message for that individual. When I go to work, I begin to feel the burden of this message that I love. And because I love it so much, I want to pass it on to somebody else, because I've received it into my spirit. I want to give it to somebody else. Let it flow out of us. Let it burn in us like Jeremiah. Come on, let it burn in our hearts right now. Yes, it feels good in this house. Come on, just for a few moments. I believe God is already in this. I believe God's already wanting to work right now. God, I want to fall in love. Not cliche, not just happenstance, not just the same old, but God, I got to fall in love with your truth today. In Jesus' name. Come on, if you believe that's going to happen, would you clap your hands? Begin to bless his name right now. Hallelujah. We don't even know. Somebody can walk in the back door tonight and receive the Holy Ghost as we're preaching.
Man, I feel that kind of faith in here right now. I feel that kind of faith in this house. Somebody could come in and receive that message. Somebody may have struggled. Maybe you haven't prayed through in a while. You can pray through tonight. Come on, maybe you haven't got it for real in a while. Maybe you've been going through the motions, but the Holy Ghost can fall on you while the words are yet being preached. Yes, God. Hallelujah. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 24 says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." And what Paul was saying there in Galatians was that the Old Testament is our foundational principle that leads us to Christ in the New Testament. What that means is you cannot get to Christ in his true essence without the foundation of the Old Testament. I am not going to spend a lot of time here tonight picking on people who do not have truth. I don't think that is beneficial to them or to us. But I will say, if that was not the case, and there was a way in which you could build your religion off of the New Testament alone, unsubstantiated by the foundation of the Old Testament, we would not have so many churches filled with people who believe that you can just believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and that would be salvation enough in and of itself. If it was not the case that you needed the Old Testament to provide a foundation, then they would not say that water baptism is just a work of the flesh. They would not just say that the infilling of the Holy Ghost is just a belief, and that any sort of contrary evidence other than that is satanic. But I fear today that we might not understand, or maybe we might not grasp fully, that if we do not have our foundation correct, the rest of the house that we build will not be what it needs to be. The foundation does not only set a good solid place for you to put the things that you build on it, but it also provides the footprint and the actual plan wherewith you will go, the lines, if you will, of how far you can go. There is an end to the foundation. There is a border to the foundation. The foundation is crucial to the overall shaping of this structure. If your foundation is not right, if your foundation is not proper, then you will come up with something that the builder did not intend for you to come up with. You will come up with something that the designer, who sat down for hours on end and painstakingly drew the lines and drew all the formation and drew everything in and drew a beautiful house that you would build, you would not be able to please the builder and the designer, because you would then be building it outside of the way that he wanted you to build it. And so we understand that the Old Testament used types and shadows to reveal to us the New Testament plan. We see the children of Israel passing through the Red Sea, and that the Bible said they were saved by water. We see Noah building an ark to the saving of his household. And Peter said, and I quote, he was saved by water. Hebrews 10 and 1 says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come," talking about a shadow, a figure, not the fulfillment, but a type, a shadow of the good things to come, not the very image of the things, "can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect." What he was saying in that verse of scripture was the tabernacle was imperfect.
The tabernacle was just a type. It was just a way for the children of Israel to come and to push their sins off. But there was no salvation in the tabernacle. And Hebrews is telling us it was a type. It was a shadow. It was dimly lit, if you will. But they did not have the full revelation of those things to come. In verse chapter number 8, it talks about a shadow of heavenly things. When we begin to view the tabernacle, we could spend months going through the tabernacle and going through every instrument. And we're not going to take that time tonight. I have a lot of scriptures here tonight, but it's valuable to the understanding of why we do what we do. The tabernacle is rich with types and shadows. Exodus 30 and 17 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and a foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. And thou shalt put water therein for Aaron and his sons. They shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister to the burnt offering made by fire unto the Lord, so shall they wash their hands and their feet that they die not. And it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and his seed throughout their generations." What are we talking tonight about? We are talking about the essentiality of water baptism in Jesus' name. We're talking about types and shadows. What does the priesthood of Exodus have to do with us? Well, the Bible says that we are kings and priests. The Bible says that we are kings and priests. And so when we come in to the house of God, as we did the first time, we were unclean. We were not washed. We had not been washed with water. But we see even in Exodus that God is laying the foundational groundwork for the truth. And he said, before you enter in to a place where you can offer one sacrifice, you must be washed with all from your head to your feet. What that does not sound like to me is a sprinkling of water. That is washing with all. That is total submersion in baptism. When you begin to read the Bible, you find out we're not just talking about some rules and regulations. Why is it necessary that I read Leviticus or Exodus or any of those laws that are very frankly boring at times to just go through and read? It's very important that we understand that God did not just put that in there for filler. The Bible doesn't have a filler chapter. The Bible doesn't have a filler verse, but these verses are crucial to doctrine. When you would enter in after that into the holy place, you would see many different things. You would see the table of showbread. You would see a couple other instrumentation. But what I want to point out tonight, we're talking about water and we're talking about spirit. I want to point out that there was golden candlesticks that represented the spirit of God in the tabernacle. Zechariah chapter 4 verse number 1 says, "And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me up as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold with a bowl on top of it, and seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake unto the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? When the angel that talked with me then answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying grace, grace unto it. We're talking about the Spirit of God. And I want to point out, just like I said earlier in this, the Spirit of God does not just bring salvation, but what we see here, the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, that the mountain would be fallen before Zerubbabel. It shall become a plain. And it said, you're going to bring the headstone thereof with shoutings. I'm telling you today, the Holy Ghost does not just bring you salvation, it brings true victory. Come on, it's not by might, and it's not by power. It's not by the physical strength that we possess. Let me tell you something. As tough as you may be, your physical strength will fail. As strong as you may be, you will get tired. But you got to wait upon the Lord. The Holy Ghost is there to keep you lifted up. Hallelujah. And when the sacrifice was received in the tabernacle, on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies, we know that the presence of God would come down as an acceptance of the sacrifice. We're talking about types and shadows. We're talking about water and spirit. Hebrews 9:1 said, "There then verily the first covenant had also ordinance of divine service and a worldly sanctuary." It's talking about it was rough. The worldly sanctuary. It wasn't saying it was worldly, like it was ungodly. Or in fact, it was very much so the contrary. But it was rough. It was skins of goats. It was badger skins. It had a rough appearance. We are spoiled because we come into a place like this tonight and we say, this is not good enough. And we say, we don't have what we think we ought to have church. But imagine you're in the middle of the desert and the only place you have to access the Spirit of God is through somebody else and through one man that could enter into the Holy of Holies two times out of the year. He couldn't even go in every day. But I'm going to get a little bit ahead of myself. But right now, I want to tell you, when Jesus Christ came and he died and he said, it is finished, what happened in the Holy of Holies? But the veil was rent in two from top to bottom. And that was the signification that you and I could enter into the Holy of Holies at any given time. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. We can walk in to the very presence of God at any time. Hallelujah. It was a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of the glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. I think what he was saying there is we can't really describe what it must have been like right over top of that mercy seat. Those cherubims were covering the glory of God. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. It said that we can't even really speak on it just right. We can't even really speak about how it must have felt right there. But I will tell you, Paul did have somewhat of an understanding, because Paul was full of the Holy Ghost. It's joy unspeakable. I don't know how else to say it, but it's joy unspeakable and it's full of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's in this house even now. is in this house even now. The Holy Ghost is in this house. I believe we're talking about some things that God is pleased with. I believe we're talking about some things that God is pleased with. God wants to, come on, He wants to give that message to you, and He wants you to receive it. Now, I'm going to get ahead of myself again, but He wants you to receive it not on a table of stone, but on a fleshy table. Come on, a soft table of the heart where it can get inside of you and you can begin to become the Word of God that's being preached. Oh, somebody praise Him right now. Come on, somebody lift your hands. Come on, we're just getting started here. The Holy Ghost is working. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But unto the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was standing. What He was saying there was Jesus had not yet come down in flesh and walked this earth. He said the way into the tabernacle, it wasn't even around yet. There was no way that you or I could ever have forgiveness of sins. There was no way that you or I could ever be filled with the Holy Ghost. But when Jesus came, He made all the difference. He was the perfect sacrifice, the spotless lamb, hallelujah, the lamb for sinners slain, hallelujah. And now we can go in boldly before the throne of grace. Praise God. We got to be born of the water and the Spirit. Amen. Joel chapter 2 and verse number 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. This is Old Testament. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit. Ezekiel 36 and 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon ye, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from your idols. Will I cleanse you? A new heart will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. The Holy Ghost will help you to walk right before God. Hallelujah. If you're finding it difficult to keep within the statutes, you're trying to do it in the flesh. If you're finding it difficult to keep within the restrictions and guidelines, and all you can see is barriers of what I cannot do and what I cannot go, you're trying to do it in the flesh. But He said, I'll give you a new heart, and I'll put my Spirit within you, and that is when you can walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. Matthew 3 and 16. And Jesus, when He was baptized, went straightway up out of the water. We're in the New Testament, and we're seeing that Jesus is not just telling us you need to do it, but He's showing us, is an example that He was for us. He came straightway out of the water. He wasn't sprinkled on, but He was in the water. He went all the way under. He went straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And what came down? The Spirit of God came down like a dove lighting upon him, typifying exactly how you and I would receive the Holy Ghost as it pertains to Acts chapter 2. Jesus did it first to show us an example. John 7 and 37, in that day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The Bible said, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they had, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. What that tells me is there's people that believed on him then, but they hadn't yet received the gift of the Holy Ghost. So if you're going to believe on him, as the scripture has said, you've got to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Mark 16 and 15. I'm just going to read to you a bunch of scriptures tonight. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Luke 24 and 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Acts 1 and verse number 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with all in one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it set on everybody. It set on everybody. It set on everybody. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Come on, that Holy Ghost, it's for you tonight. It's for me tonight. Come on, lift your hands right now. Come on, let that Holy Ghost fall on you. Come on, it's time for a renewing right now. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 12. But when they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, that means they believed it. They were saved. No, they weren't saved. They just believed. It says after they believed that, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wonder, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they weren't finished. The Bible said they had believed. Come on, they had one thing down. The Bible said they were baptized. They had another thing down. But they heard that they had believed and received the word of God and were baptized. And they said, we're not done yet. We're going to send some people down there. They sent Peter and John, whom when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Let me ask you something tonight. If they were going to send somebody all the way to Samaria for something that was not essential, what was the point? Were they just sending them down there for a formality? Or was it essential? They knew they've got to receive the Holy Ghost just like we did. Come on. So they prayed for them that they would receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet, he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Acts 8 and 36. And when they went their way, they came unto certain water. And a eunuch that was studying his Bible said, here is water. What doth hinder thee, me, to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he didn't just suggest that he was baptized. The Bible said he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both went into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Praise God. Acts 2 and 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Here's why we need to fall in love with this message. Because we are not the last people in Nampa, Idaho, that he is calling. This message is for every person that we come in contact with, and everybody we've yet to come in contact with. This message is for us. Yes, thank God. Thank God. But if I may, I believe that some of the reason why we don't reach out maybe as much as we should is because we have selfishly taken this message for ourselves and we appreciate it for us. But if we loved it like it was intended to be loved, we would carry it like Philip carried it. We would be burdened like the apostles that said, we've got to send somebody right now. We can't wait one moment. We can't wait one opportunity. But we've got to fall in love with the message of the truth. And this is what I'm praying for tonight. Acts 10 and 44. Let's stand. I preach to you from the Old Testament. I preach to you from the New Testament. I don't know how you can read what we've read here tonight and not understand that there is no other way to be saved. But the Bible said, while Peter yet spake the words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Why did they know this? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they prayed him to tarry certain days. Here tonight, here's my goal tonight. My goal is that we begin to fall in love with the truth of the Word of God. that the new birth salvation message becomes more than a Sunday school lesson, becomes more than something that we hear and we say, yes, that is for those visitors that are not here tonight. Thank God for it. But no. It is for us. Come on, we receive that new birth message and we're thankful for it. But God, we want it. We want to receive it again. We want to receive it all over again tonight. God, just like I did the first time, I want to receive it. Let it come with all the zeal. Let it come with all the joy. Let it come with all the passion. Let it come with all the might. Let it come with all the authority. My God, let it come with boldness that would cause me to go and say to somebody, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? How were you baptized? I'm not just confronting you because I want to have an argument. I'm confronting you because I love you and I want you to be saved. Come on, that's what we want to get tonight. We want the Holy Ghost to put something in us. We want the Holy Ghost to put something in our hearts and in our minds tonight. Come on, these altars are open. If you would, come. Come on, come on, come on, come down to this altar and begin to lift your hands and ask God really, truly, from the depths of your soul, God, fill me with a love for your truth. Fill me with a love for the doctrine. I thank you, Lord, for talking to me about my heart, about the things that I struggle with. I thank you for being the lifter of my head. I thank you for being the helper of my countenance. But God, I want your truth to burn in my soul. Ah, God, let me be like Jeremiah. I can't hold for forbearing, but his word was in me like fire shut up in my bones. I have to tell somebody because I love them. Come on, that's it right now. Press your way in. Press your way in. Come on, I know the tendency. I was raised in church. I've been hearing this message since I was born. I don't even remember the first time I heard Acts 2:38. I couldn't even tell you because it's so ingrained in me. But move past old hat. Move past I've heard it. Move past, just press past that. Come on, press past that and say, God, I want to love it differently than I have. I want to hear the new birth message and think about it differently from this night forward. Oh, God. God, God is calling us to a deeper place. God is calling us to a more, come on, to a deeper understanding, to a deeper revelation. Come on, this message has the power to keep you. This message has the power to keep you. Come on, when you don't feel good, when you don't feel right, when your mind's not right, when your heart's not where it should be, this message has the power to keep you. Come on, it's foundational. When you can't hold on to anything else, you can hold on to a sure foundation. You can hold on to something that will never change. Oh, I pray you'd grab hold of the message, and I pray the message would grab hold of you. Oh, God, give us revelation here tonight. In Jesus' name. Oh, would to God, somebody that's a prayer warrior, somebody that's a burden bearer, would put the load of this on your shoulder right now and begin to press it in to where it needs to go. I don't think God is quite through yet. Come on. I don't want to rush the Holy Ghost. I don't want to rush the Spirit of God through this one. Come on, we got to press. We got to pray. Somebody put this burden on your back. Come on, begin to press in. I feel it. Come on, it's sweeping into this house. Oh, it's moving in. It's moving in right now. Yes, Jesus, have your way right now, God. Continue to pray, but as you're praying, I feel this in the Holy Ghost. In your mind's eye, would you begin to look at, somehow quantify, what does that truth look like to me? And the Spirit, just come on, just reach out and grab a hold of it. I can't explain it, but I feel like somebody, all you're going to have to hold on to for the next little bit, just hold on to truth. I don't know a bunch of other things, but I know the truth. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. I feel that right now. Come on, somebody grab on to it. Hold on to truth. Hold on to truth and don't let go. Oh, it'll keep you. Oh, it'll keep you. I don't want to push this too far, but somebody needs to grab a hold of truth. Somebody needs to grab on to truth. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Continue praying. Come on, keep on pressing in. I believe the Holy Ghost has us right where He wants us. Grab a hold of truth right now. Oh, Come on, we got time tonight. It's only 8:40. It's not even, we got time. We got time to do what God wants to do. We got time to follow after the Spirit of God right now. Oh, yala botoko yanda la bahasa yandi yala botoko yanda la 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 yanda la 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 baye iya yanda da da la 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 bokoto do 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 bos ta yanda la 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 baye. Oh, Jesus. I don't want to add anything and push past this tonight, so I'm not going to. I don't believe that I was just speaking into the wind, though. What's been said, I pray that you don't just walk away from this service and dismiss it as an emotional moment. There's more than one person in here tonight that God is talking to. In all reality, he's talking to all of us. We need to grasp a hold of the truth. Amen. Let's remember to keep Pastor and all of the young people in our prayers, and keep all the envying to a minimum. If you're going to envy anybody, don't envy the youth leaders right now. They're not having fun. No, I'm just kidding. But but keep them in your prayers. They'll be back Saturday. They come back in on Saturday, so be back here for church on Sunday night. Let's have revival in Jesus' name. You're dismissed.